Morning. My name is Sarah Hong. I'm the new pastor for the Chinese congregation, and today I'll be going to share a message. But I think some of you have already heard it in Chinese, so sorry about that. So the topic is calling. I'm talking about Moses. Moses is an Israel baby, the baby who survived from the massacre of Pharaoh. He was adopted and grown up in Egypt. Some scholars suspect that... let me give one more explanation. I come from Hong Kong, so my kind of English is a little bit, maybe British accent. So my classmates said that they sometimes cannot understand me, so I put most of things on the PowerPoint so that you might understand my English if it is not that, you don't understand my accent in case. Okay, I'll continue. So some scholars suspect that Moses was raised by his born mother. So he knew his Israelite identity. Therefore, when he saw his fellow Israelites enslaved, and he saw an Egyptian inspector bully an Israelite, he killed the Egyptian overseer. Because he killed an Egyptian, so he fled from Egypt to Midian. He had lived in Egypt for 40 years as a prince. And then for another 40 years, he lived in Midian to pasture the sheep. Maybe he has already forgotten the early days in Egypt, but God called him. God called him to return to Egypt. God called him to save his own people from the bondage of Pharaoh. If you were Moses, would you go back to Egypt? If you were Moses, would you have hesitation and question? Why? Why is God? Why are you calling me now? 40 years ago, when I could not withstand my own people being bullied, why didn't you call me then? When I still have physical strength, why didn't you call me? When I had prestigious status, I was a prince, when I was able to fight against Egyptians, why didn't you call me? When I've lost my dream of being more, when I fled from Egypt, so you're calling me now? Did you know how many efforts I had to pay to get used to this dull shepherd life here? I'm now an 80 years old man, so you are now calling me to return to Egypt to become their leader and take them out of Egypt. You must be kidding me. Please call anyone, but not me. In Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4, the Bible gives a detailed account of 5 dialogues between Moses and Jehovah. Let us take a look of how Moses responded to his belated call. Number 1, he asked, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" The second question is, "Who are you? If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestor has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" Number 3 is Moses thinks that they do not believe me. But suppose they do not believe me or listen to me, but say, "The Lord did not appear to you." Number 4, I've never been eloquent. Number five, send someone else. Just send someone else. The dialogue between Moses and God reflects three struggles. The first struggle is that his lack of self-confidence. The first struggle is relating to himself. Who am I? Who am I to go to Pharaoh to bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Moses' question actually is making sense. He is an ordinary person at that time. Pharaoh is the king of Egypt. How could he confront Pharaoh? How could an 80 years old person have energy to manage more than 600,000 people? How could a person with a clumsy tongue like me to become a leader? Moses did not have self-confidence. God responded, "I will be with you." Number two, struggle that Moses is experiencing is lack of confidence. His lack of confidence in the community that he is going to be serving. So let us just look back into the scene of the day of the murder. The day when the prince Moses became criminal Moses. Scholars ask, why did Moses flee? He just killed an Egyptian. Such charges in ancient Egypt is not that serious because he's the prince. Like, Moses just need to say, my father is Pharaoh, and then problem solved. Like, nothing happened. But, so in addition to fleeing from punishment because he is a Jew, that someone might not know, there are some more important reasons. One of the reasons was that Moses was disappointed. Actually, Moses was disappointed by the Israelites. The Israelites have been enslaved for many years, but they never fight back. They did not know how to work in unity, but they fight against each other. Moses witnessed that. And furthermore, when Moses saved the Israelite, that one Israelite that he saved, the Bible records that he looked at this way, and then that way, and then seeing no one. No one. And then he killed the Egyptian and hid the Egyptian in the sand. So the Egyptian just didn't resurrect. And so the news of Moses' murder is still spread. It's still spread out. Who is the whistleblower? When Moses murdered, who else was there? Except Moses, there is only one person who is living. It's there. It's the one that Moses saved. It is that Israelite who he saved, spread that news, and make him to be a criminal. Therefore, when Moses fled from Egypt, he was disappointed with the Israelite. Experience tells Moses that Israelites were not worthy to be served. The fact is that in 40 years, when they are wandering in the desert, they constantly complain about Moses. They constantly complain about God. Is Israelites worthy to be served? From the age of 40 to the age of 80, Moses spent 40 years before being a shepherd, get married, and have children, and have an ordinary life. He didn't pay one single visit back to Egypt. He didn't pay that visit. It is not because he's afraid to be caught. But it's because he's disappointed with the Israelite. Moses, who was one so enthusiastic about his own people, the person who is willing to kill somebody just because his own people are being wronged, he is totally disappointed with these people. Being a Levite, a chosen group of people inside the Israelite, he didn't even had his own son circumcised. This shows how much reluctant he had towards his own national identity. Egypt is a wound that Moses did not want to mention anymore. So God's calling is like sprinkling salt on the wound. Moses said, "They don't believe me. How could Moses shoulder this responsibility?" The number three struggle that Moses was having is that he is disappointed by God. He asked God, "Who are you?" It is a weird question from Moses to God. Why would the Israelites say that? Why would they ask this question? God had already told Moses that God is the God of Israelites. God is the God of their ancestors. Why does Moses assume that the Israelites would ask this question? The only reasonable explanation is that Moses was the one who questioned about God. Moses was using the mouth of the Israelite to ask his own question. God, who are you? Who are you? Are you really the God of my ancestor? Are you really the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob? Did you call us to be your people? I was once so proud to be a chosen nation, chosen species. But now we have been in this plight, in this sadness for too long. If you are God who has chosen us, why do we have to suffer so much? Do you really have the power to deliver us? Moses' question was like the Jewish people question during the World War II, when the Germans sent the Jews into the gas chamber. They asked, "God, where are you?" The Lord answered, "I am who I am." God is not playing a word game with Moses. When Moses asked God, "Why didn't you help us?" God answered, "He has seen the hardship of the Israelites. He has heard their cry. He knew their pain." When the Lord God said, "He saw, he knew, and he heard," that means that God is not indifferent. Now is the time that God will act. When God called Moses, he had three struggles. The first one is lack of self-confidence. The second one is lack of confidence in the community that he's going to be serving. The third one is he is disappointed by God. But in fact, I find out that these three struggles are intertwined. Because I have no confidence in changing this group of people and no confidence in changing this kind of situation, so it strengthened my feelings of dissatisfaction with God. Just call another person, please. We might think that Moses only struggled at that beginning moment when God called him. But the fact is that the struggle follows him for his whole life. After the call of Moses, Moses went home and talked to his father-in-law. Instead of talk about the calling, Moses just casually said, "Please let me go to my kindred in Egypt and see whether they are still living." he didn't mention one word about the calling. Perhaps he's not sure about his calling, so he didn't mention it. In fact, in the next 40 years, Moses has to continue to struggle with his own weakness, struggle with the weakness of the community that he served. He even has to struggle with his faith of God. For example, before crossing the Red Sea, Pharaoh believed that the Israelites were lazy, so Pharaoh asked the Israelites to get a straw on their own, and the Israelites had to double the amount of bricks that they are going to make. What did Moses say when this happened? He said to God, "Why did you tell me to go to talk to Pharaoh?" He asked God who I am and what qualification do I have to lead the Israelites. Who am I? And then he asked God, and then he said to God, "You did not help us at all. Who are you who make us suffer even more?" After crossing the Red Sea, when no food was in the wilderness, Moses was blamed and criticized by the Israelites. They said, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the fresh pot and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Where can the food come from? Is it possible for Moses not to ask questions like, "Who am I? They don't believe in me." Then the Israelites were in the wilderness for 40 years. They suddenly feels like they have lost their own memories. They were slaves. And they complained to Moses and said that, "We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing. And then the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic." Like, oh, so such good life in Egypt. They were slaves. Is the community worthy to be served? To a certain extent, this old man, who is over 18 years old, he asked God to kill him. He said, "If this is the way you, which is God, you are going to treat me to lead these people, then put me to death at once. If you have found favor in your sight, if I have found favor in your sight, do not let me see my mystery." I do not know how old was Moses when he speak this sentence, but he must be more than 80. And this old man who is older than 80 has too much pressure and asked God to kill him. How many more years can an 80 years old person live? He asked God to kill him. "Who am I? I am the one who has never been eloquent. The one who is not a talent, the one who is not able to communicate. They don't believe in me. I'm so disappointed about them. No matter what I have done, they won't change." These struggles follow Moses in his entire life until he died in Moab. However, I also believe that God, who told Moses that God will be with Moses, the God who sees us, hears us, and knows us the most, is the one who supports Moses to strive through the undesirable reality. That he can still keep his faith, that he can still keep his hope. There are not many people who are like Moses, getting a call from God, to lead over 600,000 people. But God has called us in our life, whether we are to take care of our parents, to be a good spouse, to serve the church, to serve the community, to serve in organizations, to serve the grassroots, to be intercessor. Sometimes we are troubled by the question, who am I? Who are the ones that I'm serving? But we have to believe that this God, who is internal, who knows our weaknesses, can lead us through the up and downs of our lives. In 2007, that is one of my lowest times in my life. I was disappointed by myself. I was disappointed with the Christian community, and I was disappointed with God. When I thought nothing could help the situation, the calling of God could come upon me again. He said He knows my affliction, He knows my weaknesses, but He also saw that enthusiasm in serving Him. He saw my efforts and saw my pain. But He told me He still chose to call me to serve Him. Every time I serve God, I panic. But however, whenever I follow His, this God of eternal, He will give me strength to pass through. On the day when Moses and the Israelites needed to cross the Red Sea, the Israelites were complaining. They said to God, "What is because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? That have you done to us? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt?" Verse 12. "Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone. Let us serve the Egyptian. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptian than to die in the wilderness." Moses was born with super spiritual. Super cool, he said. "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today." Before crossing the Red Sea. So Moses was like this, super cool. "Do not be afraid." But Moses was in fact trembling. How did I know that he is trembling? Because the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry out to me? Why do you cry out to me? Lift your staff. Do what I have been telling you to do." And then he lifted his staff. When he did what God told him to do, the Red Sea split. When he did what God told him to do, the Red Sea split. We will experience these struggles in our lives. Disappointment of ourselves, disappointment of other people, disappointment of God. But this eternal God, who knows how weak we are, or we were from the first day, who knows how bad we are in loving people, who knows how likely we are going to give up. This eternal God who has history, who sees us when we were passionate about Him and about people, who see us in our passion, see us in our dreams, see us in the vision, see us in our love. This eternal God who knew how not talented we are, who knew how stupid sometimes we are, how many limitations that we have. This eternal God is still calling to us. And He chose us and He chose us to serve Him. In Moses' life, the grace is sufficient. His grace will also be sufficient for us to accomplish the work that He has called us to do. There were Aaron, there were Miriam, there were manna, the quills, water, and the shoes that were never broken. No wonder in the end of Moses' life, he was still teaching the Israelites. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. Loving the Lord your God, obey Him and hold fast to Him, for that means life to you and length of the day. May we also choose Him. Choose God. Choose life, because the Lord means life to us. We may have struggled, but He is worthy for us to serve Him. And He will give us sufficient grace to accomplish His calling. Let's pray. Dear God, you know our struggles. Each of us are so different from each other that we all have our own struggles. And you know us, and you know them, and you know our weaknesses, and you know them. But you also see our strengths and passions. God, we come before you. We pray that you will strengthen us when you call us. You will let us see the vision so that we can serve you. We can accomplish all the things that you have given into our hands. We pray this in your almighty name. Amen.